Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Loom, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors lost yet again to the Charlotte Hornets by a score of 113-111. And quite honestly, this is deja vu. I mean, this game was literally the exact same as the Raptors' last loss to the Hornets about 2 weeks ago. I mean, right down to the fact that they both ended on a Jeremy Lamb three. I mean, how many game-winning threes has Jeremy Lamb hit? I don't remember anything else other than the last two against the Raptors. You know, today, the three, it wasn't a buzzer-beating prayer from half court. It wasn't no miracle. It was just a wide-open three. But still, Jeremy Lamb knocks down the game-winning three. And I mean, this game played out very similar to the last game, right? Raptors come out to a blazing start. They were up like 19-5. Starters were really cruising. And it looked to be an easy win, just like last time. You know, Raptors got out to a great start in that game, too. And then the bench comes in. The bench gets shellacked because the bench just always sucks. Like, always the Raptors bench is coming into the game and blowing leads. And so, you know, most of that lead disappears. All right, cool. The Hornets, you know, start playing very desperate. You know, the Raptors still held the lead going into halftime, for sure. But in the third quarter there, you know, the Hornets really asserted themselves. Defensively, they got a lot tougher. And the free-flowing style offense that got the Raptors that huge lead in the beginning of the game kind of dried up a little bit. The Hornets started hitting some random threes. I mean, when Michael Kidd-Gilchrist hits two or three from deep, I mean, that's just wild. But even overall, like, the Hornets didn't, it wasn't like the Hornets were on fire from deep either. You know, they only shot 13 of 39, which is 33%. Like, that's fine, really. But the Hornets did a really good job defensively holding the Raptors off the three-point line. The Raptors only got 9 of 26 from deep, which is 35%. That's the first time the Raptors have shot under 39% from deep in about 12 or 13 games. It's been a really long time. The Raptors have been on fire from deep. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the Hornets started taking control. And in the fourth quarter, though, the Raptors did make a comeback. They were down 8 points. The starters came back in. Kawhi in crunch time is very effective. You know, got a couple of baskets on his own. Found Pascal for three. And it looked like the Raptors had, you know, had the game in the bag when Kawhi Leonard takes three defenders, literally dragged all over him, like hanging him on him. And Kawhi still is able to get all the way to the basket, score the layup, give the Raptors the lead. And at that point, you're thinking, okay, all you got to do is make sure Kemba Walker doesn't score, because obviously Kemba Walker's going to hit the ball. And yeah, I mean, if I'm really going to nitpick, it was really both plays came down to Pascal Siakam. You know, making a mistake on the, you know, the Hornets had two possessions down the stretch there. The first one, you know, again, the plan was to trap Kemba Walker. Kemba was going to get the screen for Frank Kaminsky, who was doing most of the damage in terms of as the pick and roll partner. And so Siakam was there. And the goal, Siakam was supposed to trap Kemba along with Fred VanVleet against the sideline there. And both times he just wasn't able to do it. The first possession, Kemba was able to wriggle free, get all the way to the basket and hit a layup because there was no third defender on the play. And then on the second possession, it's the same deal. And again, Pascal makes the same mistake by being a little bit too soft against Kemba with that trap. And Kemba is able to get to the rim. He draws like four defenders to him, and he finds Jeremy Lamb for three. And then that's, you know, that's the game. So, you know, it's nothing really to stress about. Like, the Hornets definitely play with way more desperation, and obviously the Raptors are locked in the second seed, so it doesn't really quite matter for the Raptors. But also, like, I thought there were some points where the Raptors are a little bit soft defensively. Obviously, those two mistakes by Siakam, which, by the way, I should add in the context that Siakam had a really tough whistle throughout the game. You know, he even picked up a technical foul at one point off a very soft call against Kemba when Kemba just kind of like split the another trap that they sent to him, and say I'm gonna slap the foul. So okay, very touch foul, and then he, you know, complained to the referee and got a tech. So like, you know, that was the kind of game for Siakam where, you know, he didn't want to, you know, foul Kemba or whatever, but at the same time, if your job is to trap the guy and you know, not even just trap the guy, but above all else, keep him from getting into the paint. You know, Pascal made two mistakes there, but even though, like, you know, it wasn't just him, like, the Hornets kind of got penetration at will, and, you know, they were able to turn that into 43 point attempts or 39 3-point attempts. Like, that's something that the Raptors would definitely like to limit and see is lower. But also, the Hornets got 58 points in the paint. I mean, a lot of that was just these quicker guards getting into the teeth of the defense. And the Raptors have a little bit of a minor issue with these quick point guards. Now, granted, they're not going to see the Hornets in the playoffs because it's almost impossible. You know, they would basically need the Hornets would need to win out the rest of the series, the season, and they need a couple other teams to lose a bunch of games. It's very unlikely. But, you know, all right, so as I talked about on this podcast before, like, this quick point guard thing, like, they're probably not going to encounter too much of it. Like, in the first round, the biggest threat is probably, like, Ish Smith, which, I mean, it sounds ridiculous to bring up Ish Smith as a threat, but to be honest, he has helped, like, really, really hurt the Raptors this season. So that's something. Whereas, like, even in the second round of the playoffs, like, you know, you're probably going to play the Sixers. They don't really have a guy like that anyway. They don't really play through a lot of their point guards. They're mostly, like, a bully ball team. And so you're not going to encounter that. And really, the only time you might possibly encounter it is in the East Finals. If Boston gets that far and if the Raptors get far, and then, okay, yeah, Kyrie's definitely a problem. But I don't know. It is a bit of an issue. I think Kemba working the pick and roll was just super, super effective. You know, both these two games, Nick Nurse had a game plan in mind and just had to change it on the fly because it's hard. It's hard playing against Kemba. And last game, you know, Kemba wasn't really scoring that much because Raptors aggressively trapped him so much. They played like a regular defense against him today, and Kemba, you know, got up a whole bunch of points. And so it's difficult with these guards. And I think, you know, even a guy like Marc Gasol, for example, like, you run 33, 34-year-old Marc Gasol through a series of pick and rolls and ask him to constantly move his feet and defend, and it just kind of wears on guys, right? Like, Gasol, I thought he did a pretty good job in terms of his positional defense. He gets a good shot contest up most times, but it's a little bit soft around the rim. You know what I mean? Like, he's not, like, skying to block your shot or anything. Like, if you get up before he does, he's going to stay on the ground. He's going to put his arms up. He's 7'1". And it's, like, fundamentally the right thing to do. But, like, you know, the Hornets' wings were kind of just, like, they're going through him. And it speaks to how desperate they were. Like, their tenacity on drives was really impressive. But, I mean, you know, that's... Yeah, I mean, there was a couple of possessions where I'm like, I can't believe that Mark is letting them score because these are small guards jumping up. And, you know, a lot of centers were able to jump in that position and challenge us. I like Serge would be able to do that, right? And Serge did a pretty good job protecting the rim off the bench. But, you know, I can't really speak. You don't want to draw too many conclusions out of a game like this because the stakes were entirely different for the two teams involved. But, yeah, I mean, it was just a little bit disappointing, the Raptors defensively. And it's the thing, it's like, you know, overall the Raptors played a pretty decent game. Like, they held the Hornets to 47% shooting. That's not great. But, like, you know, the Hornets only shot 33% from deep, and they only shot 14 free throws. And this is a team that shoots a lot of free throws generally because of how much pick-and-roll play they usually run. But, you know, there's just a couple of key possessions there that let the Raptors down. So, you know, it is what it is. At least they're still in the game. At least they're still in the game. That sounds ridiculous against a team like the Hornets. But no, but seriously, like, the Hornets were playing really, really hard, and the Raptors were kind of just playing at a very average level of intensity. And the Raptors were, you know, in the game throughout. So it is something, I guess. I don't know. In terms of trends out of this game, I really like the way Serge Ibaka played. He had 20 points and 12 rebounds off the bench, 10 of 15 shooting in 21 minutes off the bench. I mean, you know, I talked about it on this podcast before, like, there was a stretch there where Ibaka's production was just completely getting lost after he went to the bench. And a lot of that was tied into poor point guard play, right? I said at the time, like, Jeremy Lin is not creating anything for anybody. And it's hard for a guy like Ibaka to play with a point guard who can't really get him open baskets because Serge is not a natural scorer who can create his own shot. But he can be very effective as a scorer if he has effective point guards around him. And I thought, you know, ever since Fred VanVleet came back, you know, he's been helping Ibaka a lot. But also, since VanVleet's come back, he's been able to play more minutes. And the Raptors also shuffled their rotation a little bit so that, you know, Kyle is also playing a lot with the second unit. He's usually the first guy to sub out in the first quarter, and he comes in to start of the second quarter, and that's where Ibaka gets a lot of his scoring. So, you know, Ibaka, he's been effective, to say the least. Over his last eight games, he's averaging 16 points and 8 rebounds, which is about where his season averages. And if they can maintain that average while also getting Gasol to do, you know, all the stuff that he does with the starting unit, like, that's the ideal. And so that's been very positive. Ibaka catching fire is definitely encouraging. Another trend, OG Anunoby came back from injury. He missed, you know, the last week plus with the concussion-like symptoms. He basically played two shifts today. He played about like 6 minutes in the first half and then played a very long shift in the second half, actually. Nick Nurse just wanted to give him some time to, you know, basically find his bearing. And, you know, there's positives and negatives to draw from this one. The negatives would be that he was 0-for-3 from deep and, like, a really bad 0-for-3. Like, the first shot he hit was, like, really far off and, like, hit really hard off the backboard. And another one where he, like, short-ironed it. And these are pretty open looks that he was hitting. And so, you know, okay, so he's rusty with the jumper. But, you know, I thought he was pretty effective defensively in terms of, you know, he had a steal where, you know, I think Miles Bridges had sealed him. And Miles Bridges at inside position. And they tried to throw the post-entry pass over the top. And OG was able to jump up and disrupt the play and get the steal. He also took a charge at one point and also had a couple of shot contests in the fourth quarter there. So OG had some positive had some positive moments. But to be honest, like, obviously he's clearly rusty. And so, you know, you want to give a guy like that a couple of more minutes, especially in the last two games. Because, again, the Raptors don't have anything really to play for. They just got to get healthy. They got to make sure everyone's in rhythm. And, you know, there's only two games left. Gives a lot of those minutes to OG. I mean, as many as he can handle, at least. Obviously, you don't want to exert a guy after, you know, he has an injury like that. But, you know, as much as he can handle, like, just give him some time to let him get his feel back, because it would be nice if he could continue stretching the floor. You know, odds are defenses are going to leave him regardless of what form he's in. But if he can hit a couple of those threes, it's going to help the bench a lot. Because the bench, honestly, they could use a lot of help. I mean, guys like Norm Powell, Norm has been just feast or famine. Like, today he was terrible. Like, 2 points, 1-of-3 shoot. But, like, it wasn't even that. Like, just the turnovers and, like, the lackadaisical defense. Like, you know, jumping out of guys and then getting completely out of position. Like, Powell, I mean, there's been a lot of good games that Powell's had over the last couple of games here. But, man, when he's off, he is really off. And then Jeremy Lin is just permanently off. Like, not only with Jeremy scoreless, but he also took a technical foul. So I consider him, he has minus 1 point on the night, like, because he wasn't doing anything either. So, yeah, it is what it is. Like, you lose a game like this, it's not the biggest deal in the world. But, you know, in terms of your three stars, I'm going to give the first star to Kawhi Leonard. He was the best player on the floor tonight, 29 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 12 of 18 shooting. Only 1-of-5 from deep. He has to find that 3-point stroke again. And honestly, even the free throws, he kind of clanked a couple of those, you know, technical fouls or whatever. He steps up, he makes them. And once he missed one. But he was only 4-for-7 from the free throw line. But, he was so efficient with his offense. Honestly, it felt like any time he wanted to, he can drive to the basket and get a score. He's so strong. Like, he's so strong. And we saw that, you know, against the Nets, he was kind of out-muscled a lot of guys there. And kind of the same deal today, except he didn't force his offense as much as he did against the Nets. I thought there were a couple of possessions there where Kawhi was just determined to shoot, almost in sort of tunnel vision mode. Today, Kawhi, I thought, played more on the team flow. Most of his shots were good shots. Good balance of, you know, individual scoring in crunch time. And also, you know, dished it out to Pascal on a corner, or I guess it was like above the break three. But, yeah, Kawhi had a good game. And it was really between him or Kemba in terms of who was the best player on the floor tonight. The second star, I'm giving the second star actually to Kyle Lowry, who had 16 points, 5 rebounds, 11 assists, 6 of 13 shooting, 2 of 8 from deep, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 36 minutes, plus 15 in a game where the Raptors lost. And, that says a lot, I think, because I think, you know, just basically the Raptors had this great flow going in the first quarter, and then Kyle checks out because he has to play a lot with the bench, and then all of a sudden the Raptors sort of lose their momentum and they started playing more ragged and stuff. And, that's early on. But also just throughout the game, I liked the way Kyle approached it in terms of his aggression. Especially in transition, he was really willing to take it to the basket. And, you know, outside of Biombo, who only played 3 minutes tonight, even though he started, weird. Outside of, you know, when Biombo was there, like, the Hornets didn't have any rim protection. And so Kyle was really able to get to the rim. And that's something in this game where, you know, especially on mismatches, right? Like, teams will start, like, switching and stuff. And it really boggles, bogs the Raptors down because Kyle can't really create a shot as effective as he could previously. Now, I'm not really sure if that's just age or if that's just him preserving himself or whatever, but, you know, it was nice to see him today, for example, take on a guy like Miles Bridges, who is very athletic, but he's also 6'8 and not as quick as Kyle. Kyle took him off the dribble, hit him with a hesitation move, got to the basket, you know, and scored the layup over him. And, the Hornets immediately called timeout. The bench was, you know, going nuts. Pascal almost hit him with a towel. You know, everyone's high-fiving, Kawhi smiling, that turns into, you know, a screenshot that people share on Twitter and stuff like that. I mean, like, it's a good moment, right? And it is a good moment, but also it shouldn't be as rare as it has been this season, right? Because you want to see Kyle be able to be a consistent scoring threat. If he's the threat to score in the pick and roll, that opens up so many more options in terms of his passing. And we've seen the passing this year has been incredible, right? It's been great. He's done so many good things for Ibaka and Siakam and even Kawhi and Danny Green and Marc Gasol and even Fred VanVleet. Like, he's done such a good job of distributing this year. But, you know, the one thing where I just want to see Kyle score. And on the last couple of games, you know, Kyle hasn't really looked for his offense, hasn't really shot above 500 from the field. Today, I mean, you know, I know it's just 16 points, but I like the way he played the game, and I thought the balance to which he attacked the rim and also got a couple threes and obviously did the playmaking. Like, that's the kind of ideal you want to see out of Kyle Lowry. And then third star, I'm going to have to Serge Ibaka, 20 points, 12 rebounds off the bench. I mean, as the go-to player off the bench, I wouldn't really say, like, he's the best suited for that kind of role. But also, like, you know, in terms of just who can score a bucket, I think Serge might not actually be the worst at it. And it just means that, like, I know that sounds like very tepid praise, but it's just like, how much can you trust a guy like VanVleet to continuously create his own offense, or like Norman Powell to create his own offense, right? Like, at least with Serge, you run a pick and roll, he slips, and he gets to the elbow area. You hit him there, he takes the pick and pop jumper. That's something. And then, of course, you know, he crashes the boards for a couple of putbacks. Then he runs the floor hard. And, you know, like, you can get some efficient scoring out of Serge. And to be honest, that's more than you can say for most guys off the bench. Today, he was great. 20 points, 12 rebounds. Played a lot in the fourth quarter. Kept the Raptors in the game before the starters came back in to close it out. You know, Serge kind of played his heart out. Was really exhausted, even though he only played 21 minutes. But he was really exhausted. But that only speaks to how hard he was playing. And so, you know, hopefully we see more of the same from Serge Ibaka. And then on the other end, the Gerald Henderson Award. I mean, you got to give it to Jeremy Lamb, but there's a couple of options here tonight. You know, Frank Kaminsky had a great game, 22 points, 13 rebounds, you know, played 36 minutes, basically replaced Biombo in the starting lineup. He really extended himself, but, come on. The guy hit two game winners against the Raptors. He got it last time, he's getting it tonight. Jeremy Lamb, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 9 of 16 shooting, 2 of 5 from deep. Jeremy Lamb's not a bad player. Definitely can score, and definitely has the clutch gene, whatever that means, against the Raptors, because this man really has hit two game-winning threes against the Raptors. And hopefully that keeps the Hornets season alive, because, look, this team is playing with a lot at stake. Obviously, Kemba on the verge of free agency. Kemba, by the way, played his heart out today. I mean, he always does, but even there was a couple plays defensively where Kemba was taking charges, you know, swiping the ball from Kawhi Leonard, and, like, I mean, he set the tone for the Hornets in that third quarter when the Hornets won that quarter 33-21. And Kemba is just, he is fearless. And I hope he gets to play with some better players soon enough, because it's upsetting that he doesn't get to play playoff basketball because, you know, this is his situation. But yeah, he's a straight killer. So, it's a tough way to lose for sure for the Raptors. But again, you know.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
These games don't really matter that much. So the Raptors' next game will be at noon on Sunday against the Miami Heat. That game's going to be interesting because Serge Ibaka has his charity foundation gala tomorrow night in Toronto. So we'll see how late that runs. And it being a noon start for the Raptors against the Heat, we'll see how effective the Raptors are in that game because the Heat are going to be very desperate. The Heat obviously are trying to keep their season alive. They had just lost the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight. Yikes. So, you know, they're going to come in with a lot of aggression. Obviously, Dwayne Wade doesn't want to end his career without one last trip to the playoffs. So we'll see how that Sunday game goes. But, you know, thanks to everyone for listening. Again, I'm hitting you with that reminder to please rate and review. So right now, I think we have like 146 reviews on iTunes. And this is, you know, this podcast has been running for about 2.5 weeks now. It'd be very good if by the end of the month, we can get to 200 reviews. So if you haven't already done that, just please go on your iTunes, go on your phone, go on the, I recently got an iPhone, you know, just go, it's very simple. You just go on the podcast app, you search out the podcast, you're probably listening to it anyway from that podcast app. You just scroll down, you hit 5 stars. It's like the quickest, simplest thing. And if you want, also write a nice comment. That'd be great. But please do that to support the show. And that once again, that's Raptors over everything. And so I'll be back on Sunday after the Heat game. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.